Happy birthday to Wisconsin Public Radio. 2017 marks WPR's 100th birthday, and we have lots going on to celebrate, and we'll tell you about it this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network, and Happy New Year to you. We will find out what is going on this month and this year, and we will welcome your questions and your feedback for WPR's director, Mike Crane. He is here for the first edition of Mondays with Mike for 2017, and we want to know what we can do to serve you better this year. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. So we'll get into our birthday celebrations and such, but I know, Mike, when you usually join me the first Monday of January, we talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions. Do you have sort of a New Year's resolution for Wisconsin Public Radio?
You know, sometimes it's about doing something new when you make a resolution, and sometimes it's about trying again. You know, maybe it doesn't work for an institution to say it needs to lose weight or something like that. But what I've been thinking about a lot is that we have seen such amazing changes in media in the last couple of years, and that our resolution ought to be to do what we do so well again. That means things like having these open forums that we have on the Ideas Network and reporting the news so that we all understand what's going on and can evaluate it for ourselves and be good citizens. So we should do that. And the reason I would make that our resolution is that it certainly shows in terms of the kind of listener support that we get, both in listening itself and then in member support, that people really value that. So why not do that again?
And we will keep on doing what we do so well and try to do it as best we can. We will also be celebrating our 100th birthday. The centennial of Wisconsin Public Radio is celebrated in 2017. So what's on tap?
So first, I just want to mention, well, why 100 years? And it was 100 years ago this year that the man we think of as our founder, Earl Terry, did a demonstration for some of his fellow professors of putting audio on this new medium that before that had been the dots and dashes of Morse code. And interestingly, considering the impact of broadcasting since, his friends were underwhelmed. But he kept at it, and he said, among other things, that he thought that this thing called broadcasting, which at the time maybe was reaching a few hobbyists that had built their own radios and were listening in and transcribing those dots and dashes, it reached those few people, but he saw it as becoming, as he put it, as common as bathtubs in every home.
And he was right.
He was. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, there are radios next to bathtubs all the time. And, of course, there's been television and the internet and so many things that have come forward. Well, we're going to celebrate the marking of that 100th anniversary because that's when they considered themselves to have really gotten it. You know, they were working on radio for a couple of years, but that's when they felt they'd gotten it. And our very first official 100th anniversary event is coming up very soon, and we have a to the best of our knowledge event we'll talk about, and you mentioned the Michelle Martin thing. Tuesday, November 7th, Michelle Martin is going to be in Madison for her series, Michelle Martin Going There. This is Michelle from NPR. It'll take place at the Monona Terrace and Convention Center, and the question for the evening with a diverse list of guests is, who needs college? She could say, who needs college anyway, but who needs college? And we'll have information about traditional and non-traditional paths to higher education with reporters and guests from a number of different perspectives.
We have a listener log comment about the 100th anniversary. And the listener says, for WPR's 100th anniversary, could you put a special section on the website with details on old educational shows that WPR used to air in the 1920s through the 1960s, maybe with photos and audio samples if any exist?
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah, we're going to have a I've had the folks here call a microsite, meaning it won't be huge like the WPR.org site, but there will be some great old photographs and a little bit of audio, that sort of thing. Interestingly, we don't have a lot of audio from the first 10 to 20 years, and among the reasons were that those were often recorded, if they were recorded at all, on what they called transcription discs that were made of metal. And when World War II happened, there was a thought that the metal was important to the war effort, and so many of the old transcriptions were let go of. We do have a few. We'll pull some of those out, and we will have other audio samples that will also be broadcast to give people a feel of where we've been. And of course, since it is our 100th anniversary, we want to look forward to our second century as well and building upon that incredible heritage.
So besides the Michelle Martin event on March 7th, anything else that we're planning this year as a part of the centennial celebrations?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've jokingly said to some staff, well, there'll be some things where we'll just put 100 on it. But we are planning in each of our seven regions, so mapping with the seven regional offices of WPR, we're planning a special event in each region, culminating in October with what we're calling a marquee event that will take place in Madison as the final big celebration. And a lot of that's still coming together, but a few things are pretty clear. It looks like we're going to have On Point with Tom Ashbrook coming through into Milwaukee in April as one of the examples.
And did you say that, to the best of our knowledge, is also going to have a centennial event?
Yeah, they're doing something that I think it's really interesting. It's about the nature of love. It's coming up in February, and we can get details out on that. And I want to encourage everybody to subscribe to our Radio Waves newsletter at wpr.org/radiowaves to keep up with all the different things. And we're excited to be out in the community, probably a little bit more than usual, but it's something that really is gratifying for everyone on the staff to meet you listeners and and learn. Mostly you talk about how much you love WPR, but actually the criticisms and critiques that you share are helpful as well. It's one of the reasons we do this show, is because we really do want to hear from you.
We do want to hear from you. So if you have some compliments or criticism, you can call 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let us know what you like on Wisconsin Public Radio, what you'd like to hear more of, or if you have any questions or feedback. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we really do want to hear from you. And I really did enjoy going around the state in November when it was the pre-election Wisconsin Vote on the Road tour, which brought us to Green Bay and Wausau and La Crosse. And there'll likely be, though they're still getting the details down, some remote broadcasts during our centennial year, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Lots to pull together yet, but fortunately we have a year.
Yeah, that's right. We do have the whole year long. Speaking of special events, it's not necessarily with our centennial, but there is going to be a special event called A Nation Engage from NPR coming to Milwaukee this month.
That's right. I'm really excited about this because this is a collaboration not only here in Wisconsin, and I'll talk more about that in just a second, but it's with NPR and a number of stations around the country. There's one in Texas, and Sacramento is on there, and a station in North Carolina, and two public radio stations based in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin. So WUWM, our friends down the dial at 89.7 FM, and in Milwaukee we're at 90.7 FM. That's our Ideas Network station there. We're working together with NPR for this live event. It's Wednesday, January 11th, and Don Gagne from NPR is going to be in. We'll also have participation from our assistant news director, Kyla Calvert-Mason, and from WUWM's Mitch Teich. And we're going to be at the back room at Collectivo Coffee. That's North Prospect Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. We have information about signing up for getting there, because while admission is free, you have to register to attend at wpr.org/nation. And the question that we will be wrestling with with some really interesting guests that are still being fully booked. But we want to know, what do you want our new president to know about you or your community as he takes office? And so we'll be collecting all of that from our stations and from the stations around the country that are participating. And then during the week of January 16th, WBUR and NPR's On Point, which comes up right after your show, we'll have a live national call-in around the same question. And they'll be building on the Milwaukee and other community events to build that.
Wow, that's going to be exciting. So again, this is an event that is free, but you must register to attend at wpr.org/nation.
Got it.
We are talking with Mike Crane during this Mondays with Mike, the very first one of 2017. We welcome your questions for him. We welcome your feedback for him. We're talking about some special events and special programming coming up this year, which is the 100th birthday of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we want to know what you want to hear. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, along with WPR Director Mike Crane, who joins us once a month to share news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and respond to your feedback. We are talking about what's new in this new year, and we're talking about special programming and events, and we're welcoming your questions and feedback. We have people online, so let's go to the phones. Bill in Crivitz is with us first. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Joy, and happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you.
My question has to do with the Garrison Keillor Poetry Corner, which ran for years at about 1 p.m., at least on WPNE up here. And it's been discontinued, I believe, but he's still doing it because I've heard him in other markets in the fall. And I'm wondering why WPR discontinued it, or if they moved it to midnight or something. And is there any chance of bringing it back? It's just a beautiful little 5 minutes of Garrison Keillor-type culture.
Well, thanks for the question, Bill. We had let it go. One of the things that was going on is we were trying to wrestle with just how much talking happens during our music programs, and with the newscast already on at a minute past one and so on, having the Writer's Almanac there as well ended up feeling like it was too much talking. But that is something we think about all the time. It had actually been moved from another time. We used to have it just before 9 o'clock at one time. And when we added the Marketplace Morning Report a number of years ago, we had moved it. That's a tough one. You know, during the midday, there's a fair amount of talking because of the Grace Notes feature and the many interviews we do. And we do have some listeners just say, won't you just please play the music? And so we wrestle with that. For those who want to find it but don't find it on WPR, I'd certainly encourage you to get the podcast. Garrison has that podcast at writersalmanac.org/podcast, and you can sign up to get it in iTunes or TuneIn or a number of different ways. Certainly, the broader topic of Garrison Keillor is interesting for us as well, because there is a new host for a Prairie Home Companion, and Chris Thiele isn't a poet, although he is a writer of songs, and so he isn't doing the Writer's Almanac. That's still Garrison's thing. And one of the questions we have is, how will the show do with Chris as the host, and some changes to the show? A lot of it feels pretty familiar to me as I've listened to the new episodes. But it is different, and it isn't Garrison. There's no news from Lake Wobegon, for instance. And I'll be very curious over time to hear what people think and see if it continues to be, as it has been for many years, one of the sort of big listening shows of public radio.
We have Jim who emailed, I hoped to be able to listen to America's Test Kitchen on Sunday morning without Mr. Kimball, Chris Kimball. Instead, you have picked up his new show. I find his demeanor stiff. Bring back ATK. I'm not sure what that is.
America's Test Kitchen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's the problem with all those initials we work with, right?
So what's the story there? We are instead of we have replaced America's Test Kitchen with Milk Street Radio, which is hosted by Chris Kimball, correct?
That is correct, and there's actually several different pieces to this. Public television watchers will also see that the TV version is changing. Chris is going off of America's Test Kitchen, and the radio version is gone. That's why it's no longer there. They've stopped producing it. Some of the same folks that you had heard on the radio show, but not Chris, are on another public radio food show, The Splendid Table, which we don't carry. It was felt by our team here that the star of the show, so to speak, was Chris, and so when he offered this new show, Milk Street Radio, we decided to pick it up, but I do appreciate the comment.
Can you give us an idea what we hear or will hear on Milk Street Radio?
It'll be a little bit different. One of Chris's observations about the old show is that it was sort of what he considered very standard American cuisine for the most part, and he really wants to get closer to food of all kinds and all places. So the promotional materials we have say something like this, from street food in Thailand to a bakery in a Syrian refugee camp to how one scientist used pollen analysis to track the origins of honey. So I think a very lively idea for the show, and I agree, Chris can be pretty stiff, and that's kind of what's charming about him, I think. And so we'll see what people think over time.
Yeah. What about just special programming this month, the month of January, Mike, that is politically related? We have we will have a State of the State address, and we will have a new president inaugurated.
That's right. The State of the State is coming up on January 10th, so that's a week from tomorrow, if I get my dates right. Mm-hmm. And that'll be in the evening, and that'll be the annual address from our governor describing what he thinks the state of Wisconsin's state is. And so we look forward to that. We've been broadcasting that for many years, and that's coming up. Also, we'll have probably a pretty significant number of hours of coverage on January 20th for the coverage of the inauguration of President-elect Trump. We'll be carrying the stuff from NPR on that, and there'll be the swearing-in of the president, the vice president's speeches, and newsmaker interviews and live reports from the National Mall. That's January 20th, and that'll be the actual inauguration is at noon Eastern, so we'll have gotten started before that.
Let's take another call from Jean in La Crosse. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I'd like to say that I really, really do value the fact that you present a lot of shows where you're examining issues from many angles, and also studies of books where you really go in depth on research of issues that we don't have time, where we don't have time to read the books. But my question, my concern is, I'm concerned about, as you said, you know, in this role of new media, there are so many other media outlets that I just kind of run into, cruising the dial, that give a very, very partisan view, and often even vitriolic view of events, last election seeing, for example, while claiming to be impartial. And I wonder, you know, if there's somewhere a way to look at, you know, a good study of the possibility of impartiality of news, or at least giving a broad spectrum of information, because I think that's a real worry for our democracy.
Thank you, Jean. Any reaction to that, Mike?
I think one of the places that we cover that pretty extensively on the weekend is On the Media, which is an NPR program that addresses a lot of those sorts of issues. One of the things I remember very vividly was an episode they did where they collaborated with Ira Glass to look at the whole question of bias. And I think if you went to the onthemedia.org website, you'd find that episode. It'd be well worth listening to again, even though it's quite a while ago now. On the Media broadcasts at 6 a.m. on Sundays on WPR and is worth a listen, or check out. They have a podcast like most everyone does. And I think it's something we should certainly talk about in our local call-in shows, that what is bias? And I think the place that typical public radio station would come down is to say that we all have, as humans, ways that we look at the world, or biases, and that our job is to really work hard to be fair, to look for truth wherever it may lie, and You know, of course we miss the mark once in a while because we're human, but we really are trying very hard to make sure that we reflect all kinds of views. And I think it comes from a really root feeling that the solutions to the world's problems could be anywhere. And one of the things that we talk about here sometimes, Joy, is how we're based at the university and we're founded here at the university. And the root of our journalistic responsibility to find the truth wherever it is, we think, is in that idea of the sifting and winnowing that is talked about by the university all the time, the sifting and winnowing by which you discover the truth. So we work very hard at that.
Thank you, Gene. Claire in Madison is with us now. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Joy and Mike. Mike, you just spoke about On the Media, and I agree. It is an outstanding show. Could you consider maybe having it a second time or at a later hour? It's on at 6 a.m. on Sundays, and I catch it every once in a while, but it's kind of a rough hour to be catching that.
Yeah, that is one of our challenges with scheduling, is that there are going to be some programs that are on when it's not good for one or the other of us. And we do seem to get quite a good audience at 6 o'clock, as Joy knows from her daily episodes here. I'm very glad you like it. And until and unless we reschedule it, definitely worth checking out the podcast, because it is a great show.
And I know Claire also likes, you also like The Political Junkie, Claire?
Yes, Political Junkie. I believe it's at 7 on Friday night. That's a great show, too.
All right. Thanks very much.
Terrific. Yes. Thanks for calling.
Let's go next to Tom in Cedarburg. Hello, Tom.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I'd just like to point out, it's more of a technical question. When you have people like me call in off of cell phones, it seems like when I'm listening to your radio program, that their sound level is much lower than the guests sitting in the studios, and so I have to turn my radio up to hear them. And then when they're done speaking, and then I listen to you, Joy or Mike, you're much louder and clearer, and then I have to turn my radio down, and it's up and down, up and down. And I was wondering if there could be more effort made to keep those levels close to the same.
Thanks for the call, and Joy, I'm sure you struggle with this every hour of your show. When you look at the meters that we're looking at, your call may look like it's exactly as loud as our voices, but as you could hear, for those of you not the person actually calling, not you, Tom, there's always other noise on phone lines. Even a really good cell phone line will have a lot of other noise. And so probably what we need to do, and I think in that particular case, Joy, you did just fine with this, is sometimes we need to turn the caller up louder here in the studio to have them actually just as audible as our guests. And we do have some technology that kind of helps with that and tries to match the levels. It's not perfect, so it's a good reminder.
Thank you very much, Tom. Yes, that's I do try to, as we say, jockey these levels to make sure that they are as even as possible. But yeah, sometimes a cell phone is scratchy or low, or you know, it's cutting in and out, so it's a little harder to hear that. But I was also told that we had some sort of magic that was going to try to equalize those levels.
But it's an automatic thing, and so if there's a lot of like the on it, that might be quite loud. But the call may not be as audible in the midst of that. And so we do really try to address that, and it's a good reminder, Tom.
Thank you very much, Tom. We heard you just fine, at least. Mike in Madison is with us now. Hello, Mike.
Hi. You did address this a little bit on your media response, but like when you have a legislator from one side versus the other side, and you talk about something like climate change, which is basically factual now that humans are causing climate change, it's such an important issue. You have to correct the person that's saying it's still debatable, because the public is being misinformed that this is still debatable.
Yeah, and it's still being debated on our Facebook page, by the way.
Yeah, and this is a really good example of an issue where most scientists consider this to be settled science, but some in the political world don't. And so we have a responsibility to cover that dialogue. We had a number of news reports about the changes to the DNR website, for instance, that were a part of our reporting on that. And I think there's two challenges. One is whenever you're talking about a topic that some consider controversial, and this is one of them, you have to kind of, as an interviewer, figure out how often do I want to press a guest about a particular thing, or do I want to, like a call-in show, you can have listeners say, wait a minute, I don't agree with you. That's one thing they can do. And sometimes it really can, rather than being an interesting radio show, if all you're doing is saying the same thing over with a guest, rather than moving on, that can be a real challenge there.
And I know what Mike is saying. It's been in the news lately, and so we've had guests talking about it lately, and guests will point out, you know, 98% of climate scientists agree that human activity is contributing to our climate change, and that this is not a question of debate. And guests will correct other guests. I will ask a guest who says it's still up for debate, what about those climate scientists who say it's not up for debate? But I don't know. It's hard, Mike, you know, for me as a host to just to say wrong, you know, every time someone says that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the call. And, you know, I'm going to ask this because it came up on Facebook. Someone on Facebook said, you should do something about these internet trolls that you have on your Facebook pages.
Mm.
I'm not saying who, you know, is an internet troll or not, but we have people on not only the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, but other pages who will, for instance, take that stand that climate change is debatable, and we will have the other listeners who will say Wisconsin Public Radio is biased under every single post, or they will be there. You know, and somebody said you should do something about these internet trolls. Do we have a policy, Mike, when it comes to what some would say are people who are being paid, or it's their mission in life to just post things on Wisconsin Public Radio's Facebook page?
It would be very challenging to prove that someone was being paid to do it, although I've certainly read legitimate news accounts of that happening. The challenge that we always face, and the internet is much more this way than the radio, because radio is so built in time that, you know, the show goes on all the time, but the internet, the comments on a Facebook page or our own web pages just sits there. So there are a few things. One is that we do some moderation of our groups, and so we try to prevent basically the internet version of shouting at each other without any illumination. That's an imperfect effort, but we do try to do that. We encourage people, and Facebook does help with this, to personally identify themselves as the source of the comment. There are places, and NPR is one of them, where they've just decided not to put comments on. Newspapers have decided this as well. At the moment, we still think that the opportunity of dialogue and illumination from each other is important enough for us to have that on our page, whether Facebook or our website. But there are times when it comes up here where it can get exactly as you've described, where there's really more heat than light.
We are talking with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He joins us once a month to hear from you. He wants to know your questions, your feedback about what you hear, what you don't hear, about special events and fundraising and budgeting and whatever is on your mind regarding public broadcasting. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. A lot of times these programs turn into specifically about the Ideas Network and the call-in shows, but really you can talk about any programming on the NPR News and Classical Music Network as well. Greg in Glidden is with us. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Joey. Mike, how are you this morning?
Hi.
Good.
Yes. Hey, is there any plans to put the Splendid Table on the WPR schedule?
There aren't any plans as of now. Have you heard it elsewhere? Tell me more about what you think about it.
The Splendid Table. I haven't listened to that show. I haven't listened to that show much. I think I can get it on satellite radio and NPR now. Satellite radio.
And Greg, now your cell phone's kind of breaking up, but you haven't heard it, but you wonder if we're going to carry it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. We used to carry the Splendid Table many years ago.
It was before my time, so I can't speak too much to that. But I do know that there is an annual Splendid Table broadcast we do on Thanksgiving, which is the Turkey Confidential. So it is on our radar as a possibility. But as of now, our Ideas Network leadership has not chosen to pick it up. Thanks, Greg.
Let's go to Tom in Rhinelander now. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Thanks for listening to the listeners. I had a comment about the app. I find it a little bit, the streaming app, a little bit clunky. And just when Joy asks a very relevant question, it'll cut out and I'll hear the latest ad about WPR travel or something like that, and I miss part of the program that way. I was wondering if you'd consider using a streaming service like Intune, which I don't have those problems with.
That's interesting. TuneIn is a commercial broadcaster streaming service, and there are some public radio stations, typically the ones in the big cities, that have had an arrangement with TuneIn. Stitcher is another one that's out there. We've been looking into such things. iHeartRadio comes to mind. I'm not happy to hear that our stream is blipping or whatever, but we'll look into that. I do know that sometimes in the North Woods there, Tom, there are some web things that don't work as well as others. The fact that it works for you with TuneIn and not with our app is something we should check out. Ironically enough, I would bet that the source of the audio, were we to go through TuneIn, would be the same source of audio. We work with a company called StreamGuys, and so there may be something we can do to address that. We'll look into it.
Thank you very much, Tom, for the call. Claire called in to ask, could WPR broadcast the State of the Tribes address? Seems to me that the State of the Tribes address is frequently in March, and I know that in the past there has been some live broadcast or at least live streaming of it, Mike.
Yeah, the last couple of years I know we've live streamed it. We hadn't been talking about broadcasting it, but you've now brought it up for our team to consider. Thank you.
Mike Crean is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he is here for the first Mondays with Mike of the new year, talking about some things we can expect in this in 2017 in terms of programming, and also answering your questions and responding to your feedback. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with WPR Director Mike Crean, as we do once a month, usually the first Monday of the month. It's Mondays with Mike. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Margaret in Brookfield now. Hi, Margaret.
Hi there.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I travel to Minnesota, to Rochester quite often, and I just get so excited when I turn on their public radio station because they have classical music. And I know you don't have it here, and I'm just wondering why we can't have a classical music, even an hour on WPR or NPR for classical music, because they took off the big one that they used to have in Milwaukee and put on country or something.
Yeah, the format of that old station has changed several times, I believe, Margaret. And what you're talking about is in Milwaukee, there used to be a station, WFMR, that was a full-time classical station.
Yes.
And when that went away, we really did look at whether it would be possible for us to provide a solution to that. What it would have involved is our spending several million dollars, at least. It might have been $7 or $8 million at that time, which we don't have, of course, but to actually buy a radio station in the Milwaukee area to solve that particular problem. In your area, there is not a classical music station now, except if you get either the HD radio service by buying an HD radio or use our online stream. We do have a 24-hour classical music station in both of those places. absolutely, it's not a perfect solution. Throughout the rest of the state, actually, we do have the NPR News and classical music. And so not just 1 hour, but people get many, many hours of classical on that channel. And just because of the way that public radio arose in Milwaukee, where WUWM doesn't run classical music between the NPR News programs and we do in other cities, different organizations, that's how that arose. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So there, if you're not living in the area that I'm living in Wisconsin, there are other stations that can get classical music on NPR?
That's correct. And so it's a bummer for us because we know there's a big audience for classical music in your area. We're just not able to provide it except on the HD and on the web.
Right. Okay. If you're driving to Minnesota, Margaret, you can get WERN on 94, probably just a few miles outside of out of Milwaukee, and you'd hear classical music.
You know, that's what happened when I was driving there. I thought, oh, my God, I got classical music. And so I had to find out why we can't get it when I'm in town.
Yeah.
So
When you get a new car, make sure it has the HD radio in it, and then you'll be able to listen even on it's 90.7-2 is what they say, or that's like the HD2 channel is a full-time classical station there.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Let's take Kenneth in Janesville next. Hello, Kenneth.
Hello. I hope we could take the Wisconsin idea into its 100th anniversary and into the 21st century, whereby we could have or have someone recruit graduates of the UW of Wisconsin, first of all from the state of Wisconsin and then the United States and then the world, to be reporters for WPR and designate an hour for that kind of reporting or whatever that's going on in the world.
So it's basically student reporters, Kenneth, is that what you mean?
Well, I don't, you know, I appreciate the professionalism of the reporters we have now, but I think not. Well, it could be student reporters, but not necessarily. My idea is that the graduates of UW owe that to us, you know, the citizens of Wisconsin.
So you mean UW graduates just bring them on and talk about what they're doing wherever they happen to be doing it, about their experiences around the world?
Right. I mean, depending on what's happening. I mean, they would have enough information and of what's going on in the world. I mean, it would be Wisconsin focused first of all, but then you have your crises around the world.
All right, Kenneth. So she would like to hear, I guess, from more UW system graduates, maybe reporting on things around the world.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think the challenge simply would be what kind of came up, which is the question of expertise. We do value the obviously we do tons of call-ins. Maybe there's a call-in possibility there of a graduate reunion or something like that.
And Kenneth probably knows this, but a lot of the talk shows will feature guests who are UW system graduates who might be a professor of such and such somewhere else.
Right.
And we always try to highlight that Wisconsin connection. Or if they're a scientist who got their degree from UW-Madison, we'll share that too.
Well, and I do think that the spirit of the thought is really good, which is that there are people who have had a great education through one of the UW schools. They've gone on to do something in the world, and having them reflect back to us what they're learning in their life, that's kind of cool. Thanks for that call.
Yeah, thank you, Kenneth. Well, speaking of the UW, and let's talk a little bit about funding of Wisconsin Public Radio. That comes up in February when the governor gives his state budget address. What do we know, or what do we think, or what are we worried about?
There's not a lot that we know yet, because the governor is still developing the budget. Some things we've heard, and every time you hear us say Wisconsin Public Radio is a partnership between the University of Wisconsin Extension and the Educational Communications Board, that is exactly right, that we're partly part of the university and we're partly the state agency, the Educational Communications Board. And many years ago, those two institutions merged many of their operations. There are some things we do separately. For instance, the ECB maintains not only the whole network for public radio and public television around the state for WPR and WPT anyway, but it also supports the NOAA weather radio system around and is a big deal in terms of the emergency action notifications that you hear, you know, the thing with the beep, beep, mm-hmm. beep that you hear on the radio. They are the ones who do that for the entire state, including maintaining it for commercial broadcasters. So there are a lot of different things we do. So to the budget question, on the university side, we're one or two small lines in a very large university budget, and we certainly hope as we look toward this next year that, in fact, the university does receive a little bit more funding. That would be helpful. And on the ECB side, it is a state agency, so it does get a direct appropriation. And for the most part, what we're looking for is just to continue our current level of funding. There is one different thing. We are seeking to secure restoration of the K-12 educational funding that ECB received up until the last biennial budget. There's still a lot to do to help our kids be educated, and our media work has been a part of that. So we're hoping that we can maybe find a way to get some of that funding back.
And speaking of funding, what about funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting now that we have a new Republican president-elect and a Republican Congress?
Interestingly, President-elect Trump really hasn't commented at all about public broadcasting, so we don't have a sense of what his interests may be there. What we do know is that most of the Congress are returning members of Congress and returning senators, and that both houses in the budget that is currently on the table have proposed full funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's been flat for a number of years. That's probably where it will stay for the next few, at least, at I think it's $445 million a year for the whole public broadcasting effort. And a certain portion of that does roll down to public stations. In our case, it's about 7% of our total budget.
We a couple of other special programming events coming up. We have our annual ceremony and tribute for Martin Luther King Jr. coming up on Martin Luther King Day, Monday, January 16th.
That's right. It's the 37th edition of the tribute and ceremony, and it is the official state ceremony from the Capitol building honoring Martin Luther King Jr. in words and music. We'll hear from Dr. Overby, who hosts the show every year. He'll be on stage, and I hope he'll be singing, as he often does. And the theme this year is The Journey Ahead. And so special speakers, beautiful music, and if you can show up live, that it's a really great event. In any case, you can listen to it live on public radio, and it'll be in a condensed version on public television that evening.
Also, WPR is going to be airing a special series called Historically Black in January?
Yes, that's right. It starts January 21st, at Saturday, January 21st at 4 p.m., and it talks about the intimate and surprising aspects of history using interviews, archival sound, and music. And among the episodes, we'll hear from NASA's Human Computers, which is related to that movie that's out right now, and about the Million Man March, and also about a Harlem Renaissance photographer.
Back to the phones. Lyric in Blanchardville is with us. Hello, Lyric.
Hi, Joy. Thank you so much, and I want to just mention that your program and Kathleen Dunn's programs are among my top four, and my other one is the CBC As It Happens show, and I also love On the Media. I think that's a very important show. I'm finding myself wishing that you had a program on artists, visual artists, at least maybe once a week or once a month, and another one would be on Native Americans, both here in Wisconsin and around the world.
All right. Thank you, Lyric. And I love your name, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And if I can be whiny for just a minute, that program on Saturday morning with the game show, that's the younger version, is so superficial, as is that dinner party one with the jokes and how to make drinks and all kinds of stuff. There just seems to be no knowledge or substance in it to feed me, and I keep listening hoping it'll change, and it hasn't.
So it's very interesting, Lyric, that you mentioned those two shows, because they're certainly on the list of shows that have been requested by some of our younger listeners. And we're always at, so this is the first time it's come up, this particular show, but we're always talking on this show about the balance of trying to serve a very broad audience in terms of age or other kinds of difference. And interestingly, Ask Me Another, which is the quiz show you were mentioning, seems to be doing quite well in our ratings. And so your comment is a counterpart to that, obviously, but we're going to continue to keep an ear and an eye on that.
We have, actually, I think this is Linda in Milwaukee is going to, I think, not like that same show.
Yes, Joy, you are right. Hi, Joy. I always look forward to Saturday mornings to listen to Michael Feldman. He was so, so good. And I was very unhappy when he was taken off, and I don't know why. But the show that you've replaced it with is so bad. I turn the radio off or I change the channel when it comes to that show. I can't stand it, and I don't know if that's the same show the previous caller was calling about.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it is, Linda. Thanks for the call. To answer your question about Michael Feldman, we were looking at a very significant loss of the show's national audience. At one time, it was carried on more than 300 public radio stations and had lots of audience. And by the time we were looking at the fall 2015 figures, outside of Wisconsin, there were only 75 or so stations carrying it. Just a catastrophic loss in carriage. And we tried to convince stations to keep it because we thought it was a great show, and just weren't successful there. And so we made the very hard decision to let go. But I will say that if you'd really like to hear Michael still, I know he's doing a podcast, and that would be worth it for fans of Michael Feldman to look up. It's online.
We had a listener comment on our listener log. Just wanted to send a message letting John Munson know how much we will miss him filling in for Joy. John, you are a true public servant. That's right. John Munson did officially hang up the microphone, at least at the end of December. He retired, and we will miss him. But we have Kate Archer Kent, who is going to be filling in for me coming up in just in a week or so.
Yeah, and John is great, and we do miss him already. I'm thrilled to have Paul Damberg replace him in our superior office. Paul is an experienced public broadcaster and has done other work in the area as well. He was a founder of the Public Radio Association of Development Officers, so he also has some fundraising experience. Kate has lots of broadcast experience, and we'll be looking forward to hearing her next week.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I don't think we got to everything, Mike, and we have just a minute to go. Is there something you'd like to share, news to share with listeners that we didn't get to yet?
I don't know about news to share, but one thing that I've been thinking about, Joy, of all things, is that I think in our future is more television, and that sounds kind of funny to think of for a radio station, but we've been finding some really nice success with things like the Set List program, where it is a segment on Central Time, but it's also a webcast with video. And so when I think of our second century, not just public television, that's really awesome, but video of public radio, I think, is going to be a bigger and bigger thing. You see that around the NPR Music series is often on video, and I think we'll be doing more, too.
Thank you very much for coming in on a holiday. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. And if you want more information on some of the special events that are coming up this month and this year for the 100th birthday of Wisconsin Public Radio, you can go to WPR.org and check it out. Thanks to Brianne Shasso and to Bill Martins for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.